You know you've got a comeback in you. When you take the next step, you're going to make it count. For your career, for your family, for your life. You can earn a degree you're proud of with Purdue Global. Purdue Global is backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected and innovative public universities. This is your chance. This is your opportunity. This is your comeback. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
I'm Katia Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Bring it on. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Tossed Popcorn is a production of iHeartRadio.
Hi, I'm Sienna Jekyll.
And I'm Liana Holston.
And welcome to Tossed Popcorn, the podcast where two idiots watched every film on the AFI's 100 Greatest American Movies of All Time, the very slightly less racist 10th anniversary edition, and now we're finding out if we can enjoy movies by watching movies that we and our listeners have chosen for us.
Yes! That's like the best intro we've done yet.
Yes! It's because it's my birthday month.
I thought you were going to say it's your birthday, and I was like, fuck!
Because my birthday,
I missed it. Shit my ass. I didn't do anything. Like, I'm not going to get you a gift, but I did nothing.
I didn't even think about it.
I didn't know. Shit. This podcast is a safe road trip for people who don't know anything about movies. Mm. Today, we're watching When Harry Met Sally.
And I'm going to be 40.
When?
Someday.
The first in our month of Valentine-y movies. Warning.
Yeah, you did have it. You nailed it.
Excuse me. There will be spoilers about this orgasmic old film.
Okay.
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 Look, somebody had to say it.
I'm really interested in how you're going to feel about this.
Yeah.
Well, geez Louise, let's do our predictions. Liana, had you ever seen this?
No. Had you?
Perfect. I had.
I thought maybe.
I want to hear your prediction, actually.
Oh, okay.
That's okay. That's all right with you.
Yes.
Oh, gosh.
Hi, Sienna. It's Liana. Hi. I'm about to watch When Harry Met Sally. Oh, my God. I have to sneeze. I have not seen this before. I know it's the I'll have what she's having, and I think it's two young whites go on a road trip and like, oh, can men and women be friends? Uh-huh. And sweaters. Uh-huh. Listen, I don't care about these people, but maybe it'll be fun. Love you.
Okay. That's a perfect little prediction. Sienna, you were really right on about a number of things.
Thank you. Could I please hear your prediction?
Yes.
Hi, Liana.
Hi.
This is Sienna. Mm. Happy love month. Oh. February. Just kidding. No. The most important thing about February month is that it's my birthday, bitch.
Oh.
Everybody wake up.
I don't remember.
Everybody, it's Sienna's birthday
Everybody
month.
Everybody wake up.
But on top of that, we're also watching Valentine's-y movies.
Oh my God.
And one is When Harry Met Sally.
very popular.
Who is I'll this have for?
What she's having. Can a man and a woman really be friends? I watched this on a plane one time back in the day, and I remember being kind of annoyed by it.
Uh-huh.
And Billy Crystal is not charming to me.
Uh-huh.
Or he was not at the time. And I thought it was pretty, it just felt sexist. I couldn't explain it. So I'm looking forward to watching it now. In my birthday month. All right. I love you. Goodbye.
Yes. Yes.
Who is this for? It's such a funny question. For like the majority of my comedic sensibilities.
Who is the audience for
this? Who is
this
for? Why are
Who
you doing that?
Wants this?
I don't know. Yeah. I like it.
Somebody out there.
Okay, so you'd plain seen this.
I'd plain seen it. Yeah, I plain saw it.
Mm.
Well, before we speak more on it, hey, girl.
Hey, girl.
Where's she gone?
I just learned something about this movie that I didn't realize when I was up.
What? What just happened?
I thought it was written by Rob Reiner also, but it was written by Nora Ephron.
Yeah.
I thought it was Nora Ephron. And then while watching it, I was like, oh, wait, is this actually Nora Ephron? And I was like, oh, no, it's Rob Reiner. When I looked it up.
Uh-huh.
But I just looked it up again. It's just, it's going to change the way that I talked about it.
Interesting. It was directed by Rob Reiner, so still.
Yeah, but the writing was the part that bothered me.
Ooh, well.
It is, it's always and forever will be from 1987, so.
Yes.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Well, let's do Hey Girl.
Hey Girl.
Hey Girl, what's going on?
Hey.
What's going over there? Across the pond.
It's going okay. I seem to have forked up my shoulder.
Oh no.
I speak like a, like an old person, like an old man. It's just malady after malady for me. I'm starting another temp job next week if they don't rescind the offer before. It's possible. And the job is, it's Tuesdays and Thursdays, and it's helping an office move from one office to a new, smaller office. It's one of those things.
I feel like you're going to be good at it.
Well, that's, you know, when you get offered something and you're like, wow, I don't think I want to do this, but unfortunately I will be amazing at it.
Kind of. I feel like that's maybe more of a you experience.
Okay, so I'm having one of those me experiences. And it's like, yes, I just did a move, an international move, where I like sold all of my stuff in LA, and it's like it's doing that again. But I think it just will be stressful. So I'm a little bit like grateful to have it, and also like I don't want to do that.
Yeah, totally.
And I think that's capitalism.
Yes, indeed.
Mm-hmm.
Indeed.
Yeah. Hey, girl.
Hey.
You also are moving, but we don't have to talk about that.
I am moving. I have just a ton of things happening this month. Fortunately, I'm getting through each one, but it's one of those types of stresses where every time I knock one off the list, I'm like, oh, great. Okay, now I should feel less stressed. But then I just get more focused on like the main stress at hand, which is moving.
Yeah.
For example, I taught at a school yesterday.
Oh, God, that's right.
About,
oh, my God, how was that?
I had to make, it actually went really well. I had to make a lesson plan, and I found out I'm kind of good at teaching, which is kind of a slay.
I could see that. You wear such colorful clothing.
Thank you. Well, I thought I'd be quite a bad teacher, to be honest, because sometimes in front of groups of people, I become mean and strange, as I've told you before. But in front of these youths, I don't know. I was good at teaching them new things.
Oh my God,
and
slay.
Being patient with them.
Oh my God.
It was cool.
And how were the youths? Were they receptive to the
knowledge?
They
were receptive. That's great. What I liked is they were middle schoolers, so I could just talk to them like normal. And also they just wanted to talk to their friends. So like you can kind of just let them go. But then there were some kids who were really, you know, like interested or just talking to me about their art and stuff. And it was very sweet. So.
Aww. Oh my God.
It was kind of a slay.
Slay!
But anyway, now I've knocked that off the list and I'm like, great. Wow, amazing that was like a beautiful experience. And I'm like, oh my God, I have so much to do.
Yeah.
I have so much to do. I have so much to do.
Yeah. Yeah. She's just, listener, she's looking around. She's looking askance.
How do I?
She's looking at every item she owns, and that is moving. That is literally what moving is. Yeah.
You know what I'm thinking as I look at them? I'm like, I'm just going to throw it all away.
Oh, no.
I'll just throw it all in the trash. I'll throw it in the trash.
You'll kill the planet. Don't do that, Sienna.
Oh, God. Okay, I won't.
Well, we've hey girled.
Hey girl. Pray for us.
By the time this episode comes out, hopefully I will be blissfully living in a new place.
Yeah, and I'll be halfway through my temp role, or they'll have fired me already. So we can't know. We cannot know.
We cannot know. We should get back to the matter at hand, which is, of course, When Harry Met Sally, and I can give a little synopsis.
Yes, I would love to hear.
Enjoy.
Okay, I would
give me one
so
second
enjoy.
To just change it. Give me one second to change it because I did not know it was Nora Ephron.
When Harry Met Sally. Often delightful comedian Rob Reiner and writer Nora Ephron do a rom-com. But unfortunately, their meditations on heterosexual romance are annoying and suck. There are some funny punchlines and pleasing autumnal images, but the movie is at the end of the day one big stand-up bit in the style of ladies be like and fellas be like. And at the end of the day, it's confusing and incorrect to perceive this as a lovely romance.
Uh-huh.
It's nice that they're friends, but also, ew.
Mm-hmm.
The end.
Yay! Perfect. This has been Tossed Popcorn's review of When Harry Met Sally. Thank you, everyone, so much for listening.
It's the 80s. It's Billy Crystal and
Meg Ryan.
The adorkable Meg Ryan.
Oh.
And it's over the course of 12 years or something.
Yeah.
Their kind of friendship, their soup friendship that ends up being a romance.
Did you say soup?
Soup. And they eat soup.
Did you say soup friendship?
I might have accidentally said that and it wasn't on purpose.
There's no way. There's no way that you accidentally said their soup friendship and it ends up being a romance.
I was probably going to say super.
Oh.
Something.
But
super something.
You self-edited in the middle of a word.
Yes.
And as a result, you said their soup friendship.
Correct. That is correct.
I thought maybe it was a correct. Phrase I'd not heard before. Like,
you know,
a,
soup
like
friendship,
a bum leg.
A mix of this, a mix of that.
Or a Banana Republic, you know? It's a soup friendship.
Okay, well, Liana, I'd love to get into your notes about this movie because I obviously had strong feelings, I guess. It's like, it delivers in the rom-com department at times. It's not like completely without all charm, but it's just like, it just doesn't really fit into today's age, I'd say.
No.
But I guess we can discuss that and find out how we feel.
Yes.
Well, everybody, welcome to Phone Notes. This is, of course, the part where we talk about the notes that we took while watching the movie and we read each other's.
Uh-huh.
Okay, I'm sorry. I think that we can just sort of make it about this. You didn't highlight this. This is from your badges, but you just acknowledged Carrie Fisher right away.
Oh,
I was so happy to see her, and she was the best all throughout.
When I saw her name in the opening credits, I said, oh. I was so
I
pleased.
Her.
I really love
I love her.
Her. Oh.
She was slaying in this movie, too.
She's one of those... I'm sorry to be somber for a moment, but she's one of those celebrity deaths that whenever I think about it, I get really sad.
Me too.
Oh,
me too.
Yeah.
She was such a great member of our society.
Such a great woman.
I love her so much.
One of the best women.
Wonderful. Liana. Oh, this is going to be fun. Liana, you said your first note is politely waiting for people to stop making out equals my life story. Yeah, the movie starts with Billy Crystal making out with his college girlfriend. They're both in college at the time. It's all college.
It's all college.
It's all above board. And
Meg Ryan pulls up in her little vehicle and they're just making out, saying goodbye to each other. So she just sits. And I said, yep.
Did I also importantly said,
I was once there when my friend's girlfriend met his grandparents. I was accidentally there. Because here's what happened. I saw the two of them. I saw the couple, my friends, across the street on campus. And they were next to a car, but I didn't really perceive the car as part of the interaction. So I saw them and I waved and I crossed the street towards them. And as I am crossing the street, an old couple emerges from this vehicle to start greeting them. And unfortunately, I arrive at the same time that the old couple has finished exiting the car. So now I'm just there watching my friend meet her boyfriend's grandparents. And then I also have to meet his grandparents.
No, college is sick for that reason, because college, like, you're all milling about, and yeah, people are going to visit you, and all sorts of people who, you know, you have meetings and you have to go to your parents or your loved ones, whoever's met someone, and go, they don't actually matter. I mean, they kind of matter, but not that much. Like, you don't need to take note of this person.
Who's just out here meeting someone's grandparents when you're not a significant part of that person's life?
That's so funny that you met them.
It was so embarrassing. So I really resonated with her.
Oh, that's so funny. This movie, I think at one point I tried to put my finger on, and I'll be trying to put my finger on this the entire time, but it's sort of like Uncanny Valley, uncomfortable romance world, you know, where it's like, so you just made out with your girlfriend, told her you loved her, then you went on a road trip and like told her her friend that you thought she was attractive.
Within 6 hours. Yeah.
Later, when they're friends, they kiss on the mouth.
That, again, whenever people are kissing on the mouth, I'm a little bit like, stop.
Yeah, I feel that way. I'm like, sorry, what were the rules? Were we some semblance of a European society at that time? I don't think so.
No, because that's double cheek, obviously. And a peck on the mouth, why were we pecking so much?
It's like Uncanny Valley. The boundaries were so unclear.
Yeah.
And so unsettling that something could happen where I see like two friends kiss on the mouth and I'm like, what? What were the rules?
I don't know. I do not know.
It's very unsettling.
I don't know anybody now who does that. No one has ever been like, hey girl, and kissed me on the mouth.
Yeah.
You know?
I'll have what she's advertising. We'll be right back.
I'm Katya Adler, host of The Global Story. Over the last 25 years, I've covered conflicts in the Middle East, political and economic crises in Europe, drug cartels in Mexico. Now I'm covering the stories behind the news all over the world in conversation with those who break it. Join me Monday to Friday to find out what's happening, why, and what it all means. Follow The Global Story from the BBC wherever you listen to podcasts.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Have you seen other Meg Ryan films, like a lot of rom-coms or Nora Ephron movies?
I have seen Sleepless in Seattle. I saw it with my mom when I was a kid, and I was a little bit like, huh? It left me with the same feeling of melancholy that The Time of Day of Dusk does.
And interesting.
Then I've seen It's Complicated, a Nora Ephron movie, and at least one other one where Reese Witherspoon bangs an incredibly hot young man. And in both of them, there's beautiful kitchens. And that's what I know. Yeah,
beautiful kitchens.
Oh my God.
They're rom-coms for people in their 30s.
Oh yeah, homeowners. They're rom-coms for homeowners.
Rom-coms for homeowners are Nora Ephron films.
A niche that you have to access. You've got to tap into that niche. It's so cishet. Like, yeah, and oppressively.
Their friendship also relies... But Autumn, yeah. Their friendship, I have to say, their friendship relies on the fact that, like, Sally's just, like, chill with him.
Yes.
Being annoying.
Totally. Totally. Yeah.
If she decided one day, which at the end she does for a while, if she's like, you're annoying, like, mm-hmm. they wouldn't have a friendship.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
He's not that cool or great.
No.
You know what I mean? She's just like cool with hanging out with him, and they clearly feel comfortable around each other enough. But like, it's not like they have a beautiful, beautiful friendship.
Mm. I don't know, anyway. Actually.
Really?
I started to think that their friendship was pretty nice. Like when they were just having fun at the museum, at the Met, and doing like a little stupid little bit. I was like, oh, that's pretty cute. Or like helping each other get a Christmas tree. Right before they slept together, when he came over and like comforted her because she was crying, I was like, that is nice. And then again, they kind of like fucked it up.
That is so, but I love that reading because I was feeling like when they did that voice at the museum, I was like, okay, he wants to do a voice now. He's doing some stupid comedy thing. He's forcing her to do it with him. Like, he gets to be the comedian all the time.
Do you think this is because I knew the whole time that it was written by Nora Ephron and you thought it was written by Rob Reiner?
Honestly, A, probably. But B, there's like always a sense of at this time there's often like if someone's gonna be making little quips, it's gonna be the guy.
Definitely that. He was like given all the funny lines and stuff.
She would say
something quirky and then he'd respond to it and she'd be like, "What?" And that was the comedy, not like her having a funny take like he would. You're totally right about it being a stand-up set.
The thing is, she's still like Meg Ryan is still extremely funny in the role, being like, "What?"
Yeah.
What?
Yeah. Yeah, you know? Yeah.
So it's not that like the role wouldn't be fun or that she didn't do it, but just the setup of a perfect romance. And I know it's not necessarily what they're trying to do, but a perfect romance being that it's like they're funny when he wants to do a funny thing and she does it too. Liana, I also noticed this part when she says that she works at the news. You said, I'm a journalist. I work at the news. Me when someone asks my job.
She said that and I was like, okay, so that's a fucking lie. What are you talking
about? That's a lie. What? The news.
The news?
Which
I
the
was
news?
Hoping I'd maybe misheard it, but that you also heard it makes me think she said that.
Yeah.
She said
I
the
feel
news.
The same way. I
was
went
that
back
a joke?
To check.
What do you mean you work at the news?
Which one?
Maybe it was the 80s. They just had won the news. Oh, yeah.
Many funny things about this. You say, women have lunch and men watch football. In terms of what they're talking about?
In terms of what they were doing.
What
they were doing
with
the scene where she and Carrie Fisher and their other friend have lunch and he and his friend are watching a football game.
First of all, wasn't it baseball?
No.
It wasn't? They were at a football game?
It was the New York Giants. They started with a close-up on football players.
100% thought it was baseball. 100% thought it was baseball, which I thought was really funny that they kept having baseball things. I'm like, we get it. He has one interest.
Oh, my God.
He likes multiple sports. Okay. Yeah. No, the only time the guys talk to each other is when they're either playing a sport or watching a sport.
Yeah.
And then women have lunch, and they always feel so sad about not being married.
Yeah, and you wrote, why was marriage such a status thing? I don't understand.
I can't wrap my head around this.
Yeah.
I get it being like a survival thing. I get why people have gotten married for a long time and why in the past. Like, but the thing of like shaming each other about being married generally. I get like being like, I want to find the right person. I want to spend time with a person, you know? But that's never really what they're implying. They're like, oh, she's married. I have to TikTok to get married.
Yeah.
I don't get it. I really want to get in that mindset so that I can empathize, but I don't.
Mm-hmm. I don't understand that generation's understanding of marriage in that way, of it being like a thing you're jealous of, or what, like, why was that a goal in the way that it was?
Totally. Totally. It reminded me a lot. Well, maybe I'll save this for should you watch this, or, but that piece, We Should All Be Feminists by Chimamanda Ngozi Adichie, which then Beyonce quotes in her song Flawless, where Chimamanda writes and then speaks. I think she delivered this maybe as a TED Talk or as a speech somewhere, where it's like, we're taught from a young age, we teach girls to aspire to marriage when we don't teach the boys the same thing. And it's like, we teach girls to be competitive, but for a man, like for a boy's love, while we teach boys to be competitive for like jobs or sports or whatever. And this was very that. Of like, okay, these people have been reared in a society that tells women, like, the ultimate goal, like, yeah, sure, have a career, have your fun, whatever. But by 36, you need to be married and having children, because that's, of course, what all of you want, right? It's and it so sucks. Odd. It sucks to be, like, ingrained in that for, like, an hour and a half in a movie.
It's so odd. It's really, once you're enlightened, the concept of looking for male validation... The concept of trying hard to impress and be revered by man is like,
by man.
By that?
I will be revered by man.
By that?
Yeah.
By them?
Yeah.
It's insane.
I'm very much at a point in my life where friends will tell me like, oh my gosh, we're getting married. And my first response is, oh no.
I know.
Too young. Far too young.
I know.
Don't do that. Why would you do that? People having children, my response is still, oh my God, you're pregnant? What are you going to do? Not congratulations.
Liana. You said,
I'm serious. Who the fuck are these old people?
I'm serious.
I'm serious.
Wait, every time these couples came on, you're like, what the hell is, what is this?
The first time, I thought it was Harry and Sally, but old. But then it cut back to 1977, and I was like, that was not long enough ago for these people to be this old. And then they kept doing these interstitials with old couples, and I was like, sorry, who are you?
That's so funny. I liked that part.
What do you think they were real people, or those were actors?
I don't know. I'm not sure. It seems like they were real people to me. But some of them were so entertaining that I'm like, they can't be real. But it was, I think it was trying to be telling some real stories of love stories. Oh, yeah. Liana, you said this movie did huge things for autumn in New York. Yeah.
Autumn
it's very
New
satisfying
York.
In the autumn.
Oh,
in the
my
autumn
gosh.
Sense.
It's autumn in New York. It's so important.
It's autumnal as heck.
I don't think we can keep this, but this movie also really said, oh, the AIDS epidemic? We do not know her. Because that was also happening at this time.
True.
Like, they make it out to be... I think I was annoyed by this movie, A, because of the gender stuff, but B, because of class, where these like white corporate workers have such a wonderful and perfect and easy life where they're never like stressed about money. They have insane homes and they can just think about their relationships all the time because everything else is taken care of and fine. And it's like, this was New York City in the 1980s. And you're trying to tell me it was just all like going to the Met at the peak of the leaves looking their best?
Yeah.
I don't think so.
I have no one to get a Christmas tree with because...
Yeah.
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 That's a good point. That's very funny. Yeah, that's a very good point. What did you think of the orgasm scene? The classic?
You know, I knew it was coming, so to say. I got really nervous. Right before it started, I was like, oh God, she's gonna do the thing. And I personally found it to be very inappropriate because it's like, this is a deli.
Yeah.
I didn't know that it was going to be so loud that everyone else could hear it. Like, I didn't know it was going to silence the restaurant.
Because they were at a deli.
That was a deli.
Those are sex noises.
They are surrounded by meats. You can't be making those sounds. That's a family establishment.
I will say, as people out there who've never seen the movie, giving it my review right now, you know, that classic scene, it's like a reading of it is that it is dumb. And it's provocative, and it's very like, it's not the most like, it's not exploitative or anything, I wouldn't say. But it's just like, okay, all right, of course, okay, you're gonna do it. Okay, so she does the whole sex thing, okay, whatever. When the woman says, I'll have what she's having, it is very funny.
Yeah.
I will say, get why they did that for that line.
Yeah.
It's funny.
Yeah.
And I can admit that. And I thought this movie mainly sucked. I actually, there were, towards the second half, I was like, I was enjoying it more. The first half, I kept going, this sucks. Yeah. I'm not, like, everything Billy Crystal is saying, I don't like. They haven't sold me on their friendship yet, because it's not like they're old friends yet. They're just kind of like, they suck.
They just
talk so much about sex. He is such a perv. It's all he talks about. His dream, he's like, I'm having a dream when I'm making love with blah, 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 blah. What are your sex dreams? Blah, 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 blah. It's like, stop being a perv. Like, I wish they would talk about anything else.
They didn't talk about anything else. Yeah. I agree.
Leon, you said that kiss sucked, unfortunately.
I don't like Billy Crystal's face or mouth, but when he was making out with the woman at the beginning, I was like, ugh. And then when he and Meg were making out, I thought maybe it would be better because there was chemistry between them and they clearly liked each other a lot.
Yeah. Yeah. That's
the characters had gotten to know each other.
I'll give them that.
But then they're making out, and maybe it was just the close up. Again, maybe it was the 80s. I don't know, but it was not a good kiss. You wrote so close to her computer because she's a businesswoman.
Did you see how close she was to her little Macintosh?
I guess I didn't notice I did see that she was typing.
As close as I am to the microphone, she was up close to it looking down because they didn't know how to use them yet. It's like, I guess I'll just be sort of above it and kind of look at the screen, see just a sliver of the screen from above.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Tippity-typity, because I'm a businesswoman.
She's a businesswoman.
And I'm a journalist working for the news. The news needs
my
news.
She works
for the news. The news needs my news. I have to get the news to the news. I have to get the news to the news using my email, which I'll be in another movie.
Do you think they had
I'll be in a movie about email?
Oh, yeah. Sleepless in Seattle.
No. Oh. You got mail. You've Got Mail, the other movie with Tom Hanks and Meg Ryan.
I have not seen that. I thought that was Tom Cruise.
No.
Oh.
What's wrong with you?
Wow.
That movie's cute.
I think it's very empowering for a woman to be deeply incorrect about things. So, play to myself.
Yeah, actually. Earlier we were talking about how everything you do wrong as a woman is your right.
Actually, women's rights.
Leona, your final line was sigh.
Yeah, that's exactly. Yep. And the cough was implied.
Was
the hacking was
sad
emotional
because it was romantic, sweet.
Yeah, I mean, we'll get to it in my trages, but it was like
by the end they did get me in terms of the romance.
That's really interesting. Again, when they were kissing, I was like, stop. But I did believe that they like loved each other and had now spent an appropriate number of years, aka 12. Getting to know each other before they could then tell each other their feelings.
I agree with that. Yeah.
It's if you, before 12 years of knowing someone, say, I love you to them, that is so inappropriate. Give it a baker's decade before you say anything. Okay.
Okay.
Did your ex just see you singing along to the karaoke track of a musical theater song in a sharper image? Go ahead and stare into the abyss for 3 minutes. We'll be right back.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit NFL.com/schedule release to learn more.
Snag a Job is where America goes to hire, with the deepest talent pool in hourly hiring. With access to over 6 million active hourly workers, Snag a Job is the all-in-one solution for hiring high-quality employees who can cover all your needs. On demand, temp to hire, part-time or full-time. You name the position: warehouse worker, retail associate, grocery store clerk, fitness trainer, baker, stylist, bellhop, podcast producer. Yeah, Snag a Job's got a worker for that. With our easy-to-use platform, you're able to seamlessly post and fill available positions quickly, with a dedicated customer support team to provide all the help you need along the way. Kind of nice knowing you have a talent pool like that in your own backyard, right? Snagajob is the partner you need to keep your business running smoothly. So visit snagajob.com or text SNAG to 242424 to talk to an expert. Snagajob.com, where America goes to hire.
Shall we befriend into badges and trages?
Yeah.
In which we award badges. This is our segment of the podcast. Hello. In which we award badges for...
Badges for best friendship.
Mm.
And trages for...
Trappings, comma, societal of marriage.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, I have a badge for absolutely just flying right through one's 20s. I respect that. I love movies and content mm-hmm. about people in their 30s or 40s. Like, I love that as a concept.
Yeah. Oh,
that your 20s just don't matter and your life hasn't even really started. That is a deeply comforting fact.
I have a badge for Carrie Fisher.
Girl. That's my next badge.
Oh! Badge
she was
for
the best
written,
part.
Written by a woman.
Uh-huh. Uh-huh.
Even if the points were wrong and the idealism behind it was wrong. At least yeah. it was a woman being uh-huh. wrong.
And like I said, a lot really annoyed me. Like, there were times I went like, this sucks. And I was really, really annoyed. Mm-hmm. I wasn't disturbed.
Traumatized.
Know, mm-hmm. Traumatized, mm-hmm. which is really how it is with a lot of the with a lot of the other movies we've seen talking about, like, romance or whatever. This mm-hmm. one just felt kind of dumb.
Yeah.
Huh. I gave a badge for men convo at baseball game.
Oh, when they were at the football game?
So I
it
mean
was
football game.
Funny, like, to be having a serious convo. He's talking about his divorce and how she's like, I don't love yeah. him anymore. And then they had to stand up and do the wave.
Yes, that was funny. That was very funny.
Yeah.
Like, there are little gags like that that are just they're yeah. funny.
A badge for Meg's eyes. What a color.
Oh, what color?
Oh, very blue. Like an icy blue.
Oh good for
beautiful.
Her.
Beautiful. Beautiful eyes.
Badge for autumn. It is beautiful autumn. Sweaters, leaves. Come on.
Not in New York. A badge for masking saying something serious by using a silly accent. When they start having a serious conversation, but they're at the Met and he's doing his silly little accent, I was like, same. It's like when you're telling somebody something bad that happened to you, and then you're like, bit sad, innit?
Bit sad. Oh, but it's okay. Ooh. We move on.
Saws.
Oh, I have a badge for, well, see ya. I loved his ex-wife. She rolls up when they're singing. She rolls up with the deepest voice you would not expect. She's like, how are you? Oh, here's my
husband.
Evil-looking
Ira Stone.
Husband?
Beige man.
Here's my evil beige partner. And he's like, ah. And then they stand there for a while and she goes, well, see ya. I'm like, that's really all there is to say to an ex. It's like, well,
all right. Bye.
Bye. Like, unfortunately, she absolutely slayed that. That was hilarious. And she walks away and her hair is so big from the back.
Hair is so impossibly long. Big. Oh my God.
It's like anime hair long. Or something. It's
unusual.
Crazy.
Big and long. A badge for right after that, staring into the abyss. Billy Crystal is staring right into the abyss after running into his ex-wife. And I said, yes.
Yeah.
Mood.
Yeah. He did good acting. Yeah. Badge for her hair is slaying. Unfortunately, this is Meg Ryan's hair. Yep. There were just a few moments where I was like, wow.
Yep.
They put in the work. I don't know what they were doing to it, but wow.
Absolutely. Badge for the exchange. Billy Crystal's talking about his young girlfriend and how he talks about Kennedy was shot. And he says to his friend, yeah. And he said to her, Kennedy was shot. And she goes, Ted Kennedy was shot. And his friend just immediately goes, nope. And I love that because yesterday somebody rang our like buzzer at our flat. And I instantly went, nope.
Nope.
I'm not doing that. I'm not answering that. I'm not dealing with this. I love that. I love a quick no, a quick flat no as a response to something.
Badge for background penguins. I think
what?
It was her home. One of their places. I think it was hers. I think. Yeah. Because it was after they slept together. And she has some little ornamental penguins that she has on by her bed frame. And I was like,
oh my God, I love that.
I'm
so sad I didn't see those.
I love them.
Wow.
Hello.
Okay, that's incredible. Hello.
Hello.
We're going to get sued by Trixie and Katya.
Please sue us.
Please. My final badge is a badge for when she says, this is during her, when he comes over to comfort her and she's crying and she goes, she works in his office. She's a paralegal. Her name is Kimberly. So funny.
I have a badge for the phone sequence after they slept together, the two of them. That was fun.
I thought that was good.
Their phone sequence, it like split screen and it's like a, you know, little back and forth.
Yeah.
Very funny.
It was good.
Oh, badge for some of the couples, some of the old couples who are talking are really funny in their little interviews.
Mm-hmm.
Like the ones who talk over each other. And for some reason, I did laugh at the guy who talked about all his other wives. I don't know. They were a little bit funny. Badge for that moment at the New Year's party when Meg Ryan is laughing and then she turns to Carrie Fisher and she's like, I gotta get out of here. And Carrie's like, you'll never get a taxi. And then it just turns right back. Incredible. Love that. And then badge for, I think, the best line in this movie that's actually very, very good work rom-com wise and very sweet is the one where he's like, once you realize you want to spend your life with somebody, you want the rest of your life to start right away.
Oh my God, that line annoyed me so much.
Really? I thought it was sweet.
I was like, shut up.
Did it
up.
Annoy you because it was so cheesy?
I guess so. But I also was like, the rest of your life, what is this, a proposal? Whoa, relax.
I thought it's like cheesy, but I'm like, that's good stuff. That's perfect rom-com.
Very rom-com.
But like, I think it's quite sweet.
Yeah. I don't know if this was like the first rom-com, but it certainly hit every single beat of a rom-com. Like if you're looking to...
I think it's just very the Nora Ephron.
Write a traditional rom-com. This is one. Unfortunately, you can't really do that without ascribing to gender and heteronormativity. But, yeah. Trages? Yeah.
Trages. My first trage is for heteroculture times a million. Like, what the frick is this?
Yeah.
Just even immediately as it starts, like the things they're talking about and everything, I'm like, what are you saying? This, the dating and the wanting the marriage and the whatever. And Tiring.
Trage for her line, I don't like to eat between meals.
Yeah.
Mm-mm. I get that you're setting up that she's particular, but you're also setting up that she's so skinny. Do something different.
Trage for why is it always women reacting to or being amazed by men? It's subtle, but it's tired. I think part of why I'll be bothered when he's making little quips and she's laughing at them.
Yeah.
Again, not saying she didn't slay the acting, but just that concept frustrates me, probably especially because I'm constantly making little quips. And so I'm like, this is totally unrealistic.
It's that classic thing of men define a sense of humor as she laughs at my jokes. And women define it as he's funny.
He literally says in this movie at least once where he's like, that other woman didn't get it.
Yeah. Or like and when they're like, so I had a great time on the date. What that actually means is like, I spoke at a woman for an hour and a half.
Yeah, exactly. So that's what it felt like a few times. And then also when Carrie Fisher, it's fine, but when Carrie Fisher ends up connecting with the other dude, it's because she read something he wrote
and quoted,
and it just felt, it frustrated me because it felt very in line with everything else that had already happened in the movie. And I'm like, why can't it be her for once?
Yep.
Why can't the woman do something cool for once that he admires?
A trage for talking about Casablanca. Shut the hell up. Shut the hell up about that movie, please.
Enough. Trage for the tender friend kiss. Kissing a friend on the mouth for fun. Something about that is very, I can't handle that.
Yeah. A trage for flopping the Bechdel test. Oh my gosh.
Big flop.
Oof.
Big flop. Honestly.
It went beyond flunking. Yeah. It flopped.
It flopped so hard over that, like, the men are constantly actually talking about women.
It
now
almost,
as well.
It flops so hard, it almost comes back around to passing it.
Yeah. Exactly. Where
I guess it's like an uncanny valley Bechdel test where two men have a conversation and the only thing they talk about is women.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So,
slay, I guess.
Slay? Trage for white, as you said.
Oh, yeah. A trage
whitey,
for American
whitey, whitey,
football.
White,
I don't want to be thinking about that.
That is tragic. American football is a trage. Mm. My final trage is for the beautiful music moment when they're remembering and having a montage of their whole relationship.
Mm.
The beautiful memory that they're playing underneath is him talking about how men and women can't be friends.
Yeah.
And you're like, okay, wait. So are you saying that that's true because they end up together?
Right.
And also the beautiful moment we're remembering is him saying gross things about how men and women have to have sex with each other. I guess you're trying to imply that they were friends, but they are ending up together. It was very fraught.
Mm-hmm. Totally. They don't
fraught
really
montage.
Prove the point that it seems they set out to prove. Or they do,
exactly.
But the point is bad.
Yeah.
I don't know. Trage for, quote, low maintenance as a way to describe a woman. Shut up.
Oh, gosh.
You shut the hell up.
You're the worst kind. You're the worst kind of woman.
Oh,
you
yeah.
You think you're high, low maintenance, but you're actually high maintenance. Ugh. I don't like that.
That's just being mean to a woman. Like, what? Trage for plastic water bottles. Meg Ryan is always drinking out of a plastic water bottle in this film. And I'm like, Meg, excuse
Girl,
me. Have you
Meg?
Heard about the polar bears?
Meg.
And my final trage is a trage for causing me to pine. Absolutely, Aww. It was problematic, but still at the end of the day, it made me feel like, oh, fuck, I forgot how goddamn lonely I feel sometimes. It's just one of those movies.
Yeah. It pulls it pulls the heartstrings in a manipulative rom-com way.
Yeah, it's bullshit.
Manipulative is a strong word, but that's what rom-coms are. Well, we've badged and we've trashed. We move on to our next segment, which is how to pretend you've seen this film. I think this is actually a pretty useful one for this since it's such a classic. This is you are in New York City.
Uh-huh.
Classic.
Yes,
you're
it's
walking
New Year's
Central
Eve.
Park trying to.
Oh.
Yeah.
You're trying to. You're walking through Central Park to a New Year's Eve party.
and it's
and
10 seconds to midnight.
Yeah. You have to rush.
And Harry jogs up alongside you and says, wow, this really reminds me of my favorite movie when Harry met, what was her name? Sally.
Don't you think the men and women always have to have sex with each other? They can't be friends. You say, whoa, you are sweating a lot. And I mean a lot. And it is cold outside. It is winter. And you say, stop right there. Stop right there. I know what you're going to do. You're going to try to talk to me about when Harry met Sally. You're going to enjoy all the wrong parts of it. And I'm going to make sure that you stop right there because I'm about to tell you the news. Newsflash. I work for the news and newsflash. I've seen this movie. So here we're going to tell you a few things you can say to pretend you've seen the film when Harry met Sally.
Perfect.
Nailed it.
Yes, Harry, I've seen the film When Harry Met Sally. It was directed by Rob Reiner and written by Nora Ephron. Two people I would hope are friends and hope never had sex with each other.
Oh.
For that reason, The project itself disproves the very thesis of Harry in the film.
Mm-hmm. Harry, don't speak to me. I've just finished an 18-hour drive, and unlike the characters in the film, I'm incredibly oily. I have to get in the shower. They looked so fine.
They were
powdered. Having just been in a tiny car for 18 hours.
That's a great point.
Ridiculous.
Harry, yes, I have seen When Harry Met Sally. An interesting thing about that as a rom-com is it has a real sort of stand-up edge to it. It's probably the Billy Crystal of it all, but a lot of the actual cadence of the lines and the very essence of the piece being about comparing men and women and how they act, just it feels like a big stand-up bit. It's interesting to just group it in with all the other rom-coms in that way because it has a particular cadence to it.
Harry, please, I don't have time to speak to you. I'm on my way to meet with someone. Who? Well, Ben Small of the Coney Island Smalls.
Yes, Harry, I've seen When Harry Met Sally. This movie has to be one of the core players in giving us the concept of a rom-com that is sweaters and autumn. It really set the tone for a lot of rom-com tropes.
Mm. Harry, shut up. You are a human affront to all women, and I am a woman, so I've gotta go.
I am a woman. I did love that. You're a human affront to all women, and I am a woman. That is
like, how could you fall in love with him if he sucks so much?
Well, Liana.
Yes, now that the clock has chimed midnight and it is a new year.
We're going to do a little segment that will save you time because you will be 40 someday. Oh, God.
Mysterious number. This is Should You Watch This Or, in which we tell you if we think you should watch the movie or if you should do something else with your time.
Every weekend.
Fuck.
With your biological clock.
Oh, yeah. I think you should do something else with your biological clock.
I've had people ask me if they should watch this movie. I kind of think this is the perfect movie, like exactly what our podcast is for. To tell you everything you need to know about it. It's got classic vibes of... It has classic vibes. It has classic rom-com vibes. It does. If you want an autumn, whatever. It's a little weirder and more 80s than you might think. It's kind of, it's not the most problematic in the world, but yeah, it's just like, it's of the time and a bit, it sometimes sucks. Like I was watching it for a while and going, this sucks. The thing I didn't say, it seems like something that is really cute if you've not experienced like a genuinely healthy relationship. Like I think this is just like, not a very good example of a relationship. And to be like, for people who've said like, oh, this is just so romantic, it's like it's really not so romantic. Like it's sad to me that would be like the pillar of romance, you know?
Yeah.
I don't think everyone feels about it that way, but I would aim higher if you do.
Aim higher. Yes.
Now, should you watch it? I don't think you have to watch it, no. Just listen to our episode.
But
something you could do instead, besides just listening to our episode, is what you should watch instead is You've Got Mail. It's another Nora Ephron movie, and I like it more.
It's That's about all. Tom Hanks. He calls into a radio show, and he lives in Seattle.
Nope.
And Meg Ryan answers
so close.
The phone.
Sleepless in Seattle. That is...
He can't sleep. Seattle. And so it's called You've Got Mail.
No.
He has a son?
Nope.
It should be called You've Got a Son.
Liana, what would you say?
No, you don't need to watch When Harry Met Sally. I lived a wonderfully young life. I'm so young. But it's been a while not seeing it. And I love that for my past self. What you could watch instead is the show Starstruck, written by Rose Matafeo.
Aww.
Really good example of a really fun rom-com, but much more modern, way more diverse, funnier. and just really sweet as well. Like, it definitely still tugs the old heartstrings a little bit. And I finally now have a TV license in the UK, so I can watch it on BBC iPlayer without getting deported.
Congratulations!
Thank you.
Congratulations.
Woo! Sienna, what would you rate the film When Harry Met Sally?
I would give When Harry Met Sally 2 Ladies Who Lunch out of 5. These ladies love lunch.
Oh, yeah.
All the reasons I said. I don't really like this movie. Liana, what would you say?
I would give When Harry Met Sally 2 autumn leaves out of 5. Yeah, it's
not that good. I like her other movies more.
There was no chocolate croissant in this film that I will think about for the next 10 years, you know? Well, this has been... Are we done? We're done, right?
Yeah, we're done.
Great. This has been Tossed Popcorn's review of When Harry Met Sally. One of those classics. Oh, you haven't seen it? It's a classic movie.
Well, now we've seen it.
And we've done the Lord's work.
Guys, thank you, everybody. We're Tossed Popcorn. Do you like us? Then follow us, especially on Instagram and Patreon. We're patreon.com/... Tossed Popcorn,
yes.
Labor of love over there, and it's really helpful to us if you do support there.
Yeah.
And our Sienna's Instagram is super fun.
Give us my a birthday follow for Sienna's B-Day.
Coming up, I will be saying many annoying things everywhere if you want to follow along. I'm also on my own Instagram. Do what you want.
She's saying annoying things everywhere. She's being annoying everywhere.
Join us next week when we will be watching another Valentine's film for Valentine's Day.
And it is called Valentine's Day.
Wowee! What?
Ooh.
Crazy.
Thank you.
We love you.
Bye.
You can find us on Instagram as @SiennaJekyll and @LianaHolston. Please check the description for the spelling of our dumb names. We put out episodes every Tuesday, so make sure to subscribe so that you don't miss an episode. See you next week on Tossed Popcorn. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, check the iHeartRadio app.
You've Got a Son. By Nora Ephron.
It's the sequel.
That's so funny. Yeah, that was the original name for Sleepless in Seattle. Well, we've already got You've Got Mail. You've Got a Son. It's the same thing, but he has a son.
This one was going to be called
place in Seattle.
You've Got a Shitty Friend. You've got a New York. You've Got a New York.
From BBC Radio 4, Britain's biggest paranormal podcast is going on a road trip.
I thought in that moment, oh my God, we've summoned something from this board.
This is Uncanny USA.
He says, somebody's in the house, and I screamed.
Listen to Uncanny USA wherever you get your BBC podcasts, if you dare.
The wait is almost over. Get ready for the 2024 NFL season as the full schedule is announced. Every rivalry, every rematch, every rookie debut, every game revealed. The 2024 NFL schedule release, presented by Verizon, coming in May. Live on NFL Network, ESPN2, and streaming on NFL Plus. Terms and conditions apply to NFL Plus. Visit nfl.com/schedule-release to learn more.
Are you looking for the perfect move-in ready home this spring season? Now's the time to buy at Fisher Homes. For a limited time only, enjoy below market interest rates starting at 5.375% APR, 6.139% APR. With these exclusive lower rates, you can save hundreds on a move-in ready home and start enjoying the benefits of homeownership even faster. Schedule your personal tour with one of our new home specialists at fisherhomes.com and make this spring the season you find your perfect home sweet home. Financing provided by Victory Mortgage, LLC, NMLS 461249, Equal Housing Lender.